Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Have you ever thought about what true guidance looks like? In a world filled with influencers, opinions, and voices competing for our attention, the question remains, who really carries divine wisdom? Who should we follow? Who should we look up to, or who should we listen to? Over 14 centuries ago, Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullah alayha, the beloved daughter of the Holy Prophet, declared something extraordinary. She said, "We are his means in his creation, and we are his special ones and the locus of his holiness. We are his proof during the unseen, and we are the inheritors of his prophets." You may say, okay, 14 centuries ago, so what about now? You know, when you find the truth, it doesn't matter. The time doesn't matter. The distance in time, during the time, doesn't matter. The truth is the truth. The humans, they remain alive by their legacies. And if those humans are huge in their character, they are so great, they will live forever. And Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophets, they are such people. These words are not just about history, they are about us right now. So in this narration, Lady Fatima is describing the role of the Ahlul Bayt. They are the means of God in creation, meaning they are the channels through which guidance flows. And the proof of God during times when he is unseen, reminding humanity that divine wisdom is always present. And they are the inheritors of the prophets, carrying forward the light of revelation. The Quran confirms this unique role. And Allah says, "Indeed, Allah only desires to keep away impurity from you, O people of the house, the Ahlul Bayt, and to purify you completely." Why? Because Allah purified them because he wanted them to be guides for us, purified, pure guides for us. And without that, we couldn't follow them, we couldn't trust them. Now think about this form of a scientific lens. In psychology, researchers talk about trusted role models, people who embody integrity and stability, and therefore become anchors in times of confusion. Studies show that communities with reliable moral leaders experience greater resilience, trust, and even lower stress levels. Isn't that what the Ahlul Bayt are meant to be? They are not just historical figures, but living anchors of the soul. So Lady Fatima's words are a timeless reminder. If we want to connect to God, we must connect to his chosen means, the Ahlul Bayt. Peace be upon them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin
What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in to Iran Radio. Glad you could join us. I'm your presenter for the next hour. The word Bismillah appears 114 times in the Quran. It occurs twice in Surah Naml, whereas Surah Toba is the only surah which doesn't begin with Bismillah. Quran believes in life after death. The Quran teaches us that besides having a body, a human being also has a spirit, a soul, and when a person dies, the physical body vanishes while the soul remains. We start this hour's programs with our radio productions feature. After that, we have Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the world tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from countries both near and far. They will be followed by Let's Recite the Holy Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for the next hour.
Nasir Khosrow Street is the oldest street in Tehran. It extends from Imam Khomeini Square to 15 Khordad Street in Tehran's Bazaar District. Along the way are some of the most iconic buildings and places of the capital, such as Darul Funun School, Saray Roshan, Shamsul Emare Building, and Marvi Alley. Nasir Khosrow is more than just a street. You just need to walk from one end to another in order to travel to the past without even leaving the present. Join me in this historic journey.
The construction of Nasir Khosrow Street dates back to 1906. Before that date, the street was part of a large ditch in this area. After the construction of new trenches, they filled the ditch and it became Nasiriye Street, because it was built by the order of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar.
The best way to know the central part of a city is to visit its historical places. Darul Funun School, the first modern school of Iran, which was founded in 1851 by Mirza Taqi Khan Amir Kabir.
Muhammad Taqi Amir Nizam, known as Amir Kabir, was the Prime Minister of Iran during the reign of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar. During his time, Amir Kabir exercised administrative programs, cultural and economic reforms for the country. And certainly, his most important work was the foundation of Darul Funun. Darul Funun School played a major role in the process of modernization of Iran. Continue our journey on the road to the south. It is interesting that the first pharmacy, the first printing press, and the first school of Iran were all in this street. In its central section, most buildings date back to the early 20th century, and some of these historical buildings have been preserved.
Towards the middle of the Nasir Khosrow Street, Saray Roshan rises as a historical symbol of this area, one of the first commercial buildings of the capital city. Its unique style is inspired by Gothic architecture.
3 minutes walk from Saray Roshan, we find another unique building, which is called Shamsul Emare.
In this street, you can enjoy the architecture of a building called Shamsul Emare, or the Edifice of the Sun. Shamsul Emare is one of the most impressive structures of the Gulistan Palace, which was built around 150 years ago by the order of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar. I'm sure he had a perfect view of the city of Tehran when he was standing up there.
Shamsul Emare is the first five-story building in the capital, and at the time was considered the tallest building in Tehran. The building combines traditional Iranian architecture with European one. The facade of this building is decorated with bricks and colorful tiles with some beautiful paintings.
The famous Marvi Alley is located right across the street to Shamsul Emare building. Here you can find many different shops and boutiques for all different tastes and budgets. This part of the market attracts tourists and customers from different socioeconomic levels.
Marvi School is located in the same alley, and it is one of the oldest seminaries in Iran. This school was built almost about 200 years ago. The Marvi School is a 4,500 square meters space and has a capacity for about 200 students. The schoolyard is a square garden and it includes several rooms, a library consisting of old books, and small pond in the middle. Before I say goodbye to this street, I'm going to try some street food here because Tehran's Bazaar district is famous for its tasty foods. I was told that the falafel sandwich of this area is just awesome. And indeed it is, so I hope you get a chance to try it too. Shahriyar Azimi for Iran.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
As Israel's deadly onslaught in Gaza continues, any notion of a ceasefire exists in name only, according to Francesca Albanese. The UN Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territories told a European Parliament hearing on Tuesday via video link that relatively few countries have stood up for Palestinians.
The rest have been bending backward and forward to comply with the diktat of the United States, including European countries and European Union.
Albanese is scathing about the US-driven plan for Gaza's future, especially the reconstruction proposals.
The reconstruction plan not only is wrong as it's planned, because it's planned without the Palestinians and while the bombing and the shooting and the starving are still ongoing, but also because Gaza is a crime scene.
Several lawmakers expressed anger that Palestinians are not being placed at the center of discussions about Gaza's future.
It's so striking, the current EU reaction to the 28-point plan regarding Ukraine, where the EU very clearly said there's no plan without the Ukrainians.
Once again, fresh calls were made for the EU to halt all trade with the Israeli regime. There have been any number of debates and events in the European Parliament relating to the plight of Palestinians, but they effectively come to nothing. This is because any potential sanctions don't even get as far as here, the EU Council, and that is because the European Commission knows they'll be blocked by certain member states. Analysts argue that the EU has now taken a back seat on foreign policy, with the United States firmly in control.
I mean, the whole situation with the European Union in the Middle East now, it's clear there is no vision in Europe, there is no policy, at least no coherent policy.
Some legislators support Albanese's call for dual EU-Israeli nationals to be investigated upon re-entering the bloc, a measure previously applied to suspected foreign fighters returning from Daesh-controlled areas.
Was immediately, oh, this is a potential terrorist because he was fighting in the Middle East, and now it's completely silenced. I mean, the right wing, although they always talk about security and how to watch the borders so that no terrorists come inside, now they receive with open hands.
Albanese told the committee that the EU should suspend all ties with Israel, except those required to enforce international court rulings against Tel Aviv. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Braving the autumn chill, people across Indian-administered Kashmir gathered in large numbers on Tuesday to mark the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, the revered daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Tuesday event concluded week-long ceremonies in Kashmir and the neighboring border area of Kargil, which featured religious gatherings, scholarly conferences and mourning processions to honor Hazrat Fatima.
Hazrat Fatima exemplifies the highest standards of behavior as a daughter, wife and mother. Her life stands as a timeless model of virtue for every generation. Although she lived only 18 years, her spiritual closeness to God earned her the title of Leader of the Women of Paradise.
Mourners emphasize that Hazrat Fatima's immense contribution to Islam is often overlooked, particularly in the West due to persistent misconceptions about women's rights and status in Islamic tradition.
Islam uniquely advocates gender equality and firmly protects women's rights. In an era where society increasingly commodifies women, the teachings and example of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, are more relevant than ever, offering a complete model of dignity and respect. Her moral integrity, humility and devotion make her unique among all women.
Speakers recalled Prophet Muhammad's profound love for his daughter, affection that directly challenged the norms of pre-Islamic Arabia, where daughters were frequently devalued.
Hazrat Fatima possessed qualities beyond description. She was a divine personality and a fountainhead of guidance and piety, Our holy prophet's love and respect for his daughter was so profound that he would stand up in her honor. Her unwavering defense of justice and rightful leadership reflects her commitment to truth, integrity, and the rights of the oppressed.
The speakers urged people to study Hazrat Fatima's life more deeply and draw inspiration from her patience, piety, and unwavering faith, saying her legacy remains a guiding light for Muslim women and a model of steadfastness and spiritual excellence.
As Kashmir joined the global Muslim community in remembering Hazrat Fatima Zahra, scholars and participants describe her as a timeless role model whose humility, strength and devotion continue to guide Muslims across generations. Sayyidi Safir, Indian Administered Kashmir.
Iran Supreme National Security Council Ali Larajani arrived in Pakistan on Monday. His visit marks a significant step in the ongoing efforts by both countries to consolidate cooperation amid heightened regional tensions. Shortly after his arrival, Larajani met Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif, President Asif Ali Zardari, Deputy Prime Minister Ishaq Dar, and other high-ranking officials and think tank heads, engaging in wide-ranging discussions on bilateral ties and regional security. The discussions focused on expanding bilateral trade, with both sides reiterating their commitment to removing trade barriers, activating the barter trade mechanism, and expediting the Pakistan-Iran Free Trade Agreement. Larajani also praised Pakistan's support for Iran during the U.S.-Israeli aggression against the country earlier this year.
We discussed all key bilateral matters, especially how to expand our economic cooperation and strengthen trade. Pakistan is a true brotherly nation, and together we explored practical ways to deepen our security ties, enhance people-to-people contact, and coordinate our positions on major international issues.
Pakistani leadership underscored Islamabad's commitment to deepening political, economic, and security cooperation with Tehran.
We discussed all the regional, bilateral, and global issues. It was a wonderful meeting. I'm grateful to my brother Excellency for his visit and sparing time to meet with me. And we had very open discussion about all the issues which are currently being faced by the regional and the multilateral forums.
Observers say Larajani's visit signals a strategic recalibration in Iran's regional engagement after the June war with Israel. They say the visit also underscores Pakistan's rising relevance in Tehran's long-term vision, particularly in border security, regional trade, and balanced diplomacy in a volatile neighborhood.
We are proud of Iran's resistance. They have set a new example because they have shattered the myth of Israeli invincibility through the determination, through the will, and the fighting power of the Iranian nation. And we feel that Iran showed that imperialism, hegemony, Zionism. They say might is right, right is might. And they failed miserably in that.
Larajani is the second high-ranking Iranian official to visit Pakistan this month, after Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bakar Kalibaf.
The latest high-level meetings between the top officials of Iran and Pakistan show that the two neighbors are not only focused on boosting trade and economic partnerships, but also on developing coordinated mechanisms for regional peace and security. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Thanks to Trump, European Commission insiders say an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty continues to hang over EU-US trade relations. Meeting on Monday, EU trade ministers agreed the bloc must broaden its commercial horizons and seek additional stable partners.
What we are working on continuously, that we have to diversify our trade. The commissioner gave us a state on ongoing negotiations with India and a number of other countries and regions in Asia, Middle East and Africa.
It emerged at Monday's meeting, attended by senior White House officials, that the EU has already paid €173 billion for US energy imports this year, much of it for costly liquefied natural gas shipped across the Atlantic. those charges filter through industry and ultimately onto consumers. It's a stark contrast to the much cheaper Russian gas that once powered the EU. The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, struck a deal with Trump at his golf course in Scotland last July. He had been threatening 50% US tariffs on all EU imports, but in the end they settled on a baseline 15% levy. Now Washington officials are annoyed at the EU over its slow implementation of that deal. Punishing 50% US tariffs on EU steel and aluminium remain firmly in place. The current trade arrangements have drawn sharp criticism from inside the European Parliament.
Trump is the worst bully in the schoolyard. He picks on everyone. You should never give in to blackmail. The more money we promise to pour into the US, the more they will demand from us.
EU citizens are equally scathing of the current US administration.
I think it's just right now a pause maybe before, I know, like maybe then Trump decides to impose tariffs again or to increase them on us. And plus right now with the Ukraine plan, again, like the recently disclosed Ukraine plan, is going to be other tensions as well.
If Vance is taking the place of Trump because he's talking about that now, I think it's even more dangerous. And in a way, even if they go back and they will be less rude in a few years, I think the tune is set, if we can say this in English. I think it's very dangerous. Yeah, I think so.
Government leaders are being accused of surrendering far too much ground to Trump on trade, leaving millions of already struggling EU businesses and households to shoulder the cost. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Italian prosecutors will have to decide whether to put the suspects, who today are between 65 and 80 years old, on trial. They are suspected of voluntary murder aggravated by cruelty and abject motives, a crime which has no statute of limitations and carries a maximum life sentence.
Some political analysts believe that the whole Sarajevo sniper tourism affair can also be read through the lens of geopolitics. They suspect that there are governments who are trying to link Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić to the so-called sniper safaris that took place in Bosnia in the 1990s.
The risk that this affair is turned into a political tool clearly exists. Some may be eager to find political implications in these murders, but they would be wrong. Those were just criminal acts.
I think it could well be politicized because the information that we have at the moment is very murky indeed, and no concrete details are being given as to what is actually being investigated. Neither the numbers, nor the people involved, nor the countries involved.
During the Rome press conference, Gavazzeni also pointed out that Italy's military intelligence agency was aware of the abominable trips when they took place, but nothing was done to stop them. Max Civili, Rome.
Next to the conscientious objector's commemorative stone, a demonstration rooted in conscience. Demonstrators, some from other parts of Europe, defying the elements and threats of arrest, holding placards that have become symbols of nonviolent action.
What people here are doing and what the widespread wave of civil disobedience that we've started with Defend Our Juries is against the prescription of Palestine Action. And that prescription, which is now being challenged in the High Court next week, is basically what we're arguing, that it is unjust, it's immoral, and it should have never happened. And it is really a breach of everyone's civil liberties. It is really an attack on democracy.
Before long come the arrests. Since these protests first began in the summer, British police have arrested more than 2,000, charging hundreds under terror laws in a move the demonstrators say is to stifle dissent against the UK's complicity in Israel's genocidal war on Palestinians.
They've attempted to use terrorism legislation to remove from all public discourse the one body of people in this country who, as citizens, have stood up and put their bodies on the line to materially interrupt an economic, military, and diplomatic collaboration in genocide.
Palestine Action was prescribed by former Home Secretary Yvette Cooper in June this year. Membership of or support for the group is punishable by up to 14 years in prison.
The government is complicit in the genocide in Gaza, and they will do anything to criminalize any resistance against it, including old people sat with signs saying, "I oppose genocide."
In an unprecedented move in British history, Palestine Action is challenging its prescription in this court starting November 25th in the form of a judicial review. If the High Court votes in favor of Palestine Action, the thousands of arrests and the hundreds of charges that were brought against demonstrators like these under the Terrorism Act of 2000 will also be quashed. A victory for Palestine Action would also have repercussions for its jailed members, six of whom are now on an open-ended hunger strike in prisons across Britain. Cyprus, London.
Israel has struck a residential building in the heart of the Beirut suburbs. The third and fourth floors of a nine-story building were badly damaged, with debris filling the road, damaging cars and property. Deputy head of Hezbollah Political Bureau confirmed to Press TV that a senior commander was targeted in the strike.
This is an attempted assassination, targeting a key leader within the resistance. What matters now is that we document this as a clear act of aggression, an escalation we cannot and will not tolerate. It is our responsibility at the national level to establish a response that confronts Israel's attempt to undermine our sovereignty.
Although the Israeli statement said the target was a commander in the resistance, people near the scene say Israeli strikes are targeting everyone.
I am from this neighborhood. Every time they come up with this claim that they are targeting a member of the resistance, we are all members of the resistance. I want to tell our prime minister, who was a judge in the international court, if your diplomacy can't protect us and solve our crisis, then leave us to be and don't speak in our name. And this mechanism is obviously biased towards Israel.
Alice believes the Israeli claims that Hezbollah has rehabilitated is merely preparing the ground for a larger escalation and a U.S. green light for this aggression.
This marks a new level of violation, and there are two potential outcomes. Either the resistance retaliates, which would escalate into a full-scale war, or they absorb this blow, which could embolden Israel to carry out further strikes. Both options are devastating. This is a turning point. With Israel seeking to normalize its escalation in Lebanon, backed by U.S. support, and with the Lebanese government failing to take action.
President Joseph Aoun called on the international community to intervene firmly to stop Israeli attacks on the country. Lebanon, he said, reiterates its call to the international community to assume its responsibility and intervene firmly and seriously to stop the attacks on Lebanon and its people. The Israeli strike on the southern suburbs of Beirut and the U.S. blessing are considered part of the growing pressure by both sides to enforce full surrender by Hezbollah and full compliance of the Lebanese government to disarm the resistance. However, many believe that this opens the way for different scenarios, especially if the resistance decides it is time to retaliate. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful.
May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi. Thank you for having me, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the music or the musical miracle of the Noble Quran. Then, we all are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. And at the end, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation from different aspects. Stay tuned. Dear audience, as always, in the first part, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the miraculous music of the Noble Quran. Up to now, we have talked about a lot of different aspects of this issue, and now we are going to talk about a new one. Brother Muhammad, at your service.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, for today's program, I want to talk about certain expressions that are used in the Quran that, and certain words, which are rather strange and rarely used in the Arabic language, and they have a very specific meaning.
Interesting.
Okay, in Surah As-Saffat, when Allah wants to describe the fruit that exists in hell, the fruit that the inhabitants, the inmates of hellfire will eat, which is not a very delicious fruit.
It's a fruit that actually
does more harm to them and does not do any good to them. And, you know, it causes their intestines to burn and to rip apart and so on and so forth. So it's not a very good fruit to eat. And in fact, the water that they drink is also boiled water, which, again, basically messes up their bodies and their internal organs. Anyway, So Allah says in Surah As-Saffat, verse 65, about the tree of Zaqqum. The name of the tree is Zaqqum.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit of it, Allah describes it by saying, طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Now, this is a very unlikely and very remote way of describing
frightening
fruit. Yeah, and also a frightening one. It's Allah is comparing these fruits that exist on the tree of Zaqqum to the heads of devils. So this is something that's really scary and frightening. And imagine a fruit in front of you that looks like the head of a devil with horns and, you know, a very ugly face. And so Allah uses these kinds of comparisons in the Quran to describe certain concepts that one would not imagine such a comparison. And here we could see that this strange fruit that no one knows of, Allah compares it to the heads of devils. Another example is in Surah An-Najm.
To show how awful the hell is.
Yeah, exactly. In Surah An-Najm, when the Arabs say that, they say that we have sons, the sons are ours, and daughters are for God. They say the angels, are the daughters of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah says, تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ ضِيزَ. The word ضِيزَ itself, it means that this is a very unfair division. That they're saying that Allah's part is the angels, which are his daughters, and the sons are ours. The word ضِيزَ is a very strange word itself. So using this word is it's very uncommon to use this word in Arabic.
And the meaning itself?
And it's very, it means unfair.
Unfair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Allah says, Tilka idhan qisma. Qisma means division or something that's distributed, okay? Liza.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfair. Not in the sense that, you know, sons are better than daughters, but according to them, they believe that sons are better and daughters are, you know, they're not as good as sons. So Allah saying, from their viewpoint, an unfair division. And Allah is using this word, Louisa. And of course, such a thing is not true. Allah does not have daughters. The angels are not male or female. They are, you know, they don't have a gender.
And maybe so wants Allah to say that this kind of belief is rare by using such a kind
exactly.
of word.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, that's another point. True.
Okay, thank you, dear Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, now in the second part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we're going to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Zalzala, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahat. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا زلزلت الأرض صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. What you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Zalzalah, recited by Sheikh Anwar Shahat. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this surah begins with a verse that has a lot of the letter Zay in it. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا This sound of Zay, right after each other, it gives the impression of an earthquake, the sound of an earthquake, like a buzzing sound,
mm-hmm.
like when an earthquake comes. You know, there's this distinct sound. I remember once, like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, there was an earthquake in Qom, and the sound of it was something that resembled a zzz sound. I remember we were at our house, and then the whole house started shaking.
Actually, it resembles vibration.
Vibration, exactly. Whenever your cell phones vibrate, it makes a buzzing sound.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and that's the case with an earthquake. So just by this verse, Allah is depicting an earthquake, the sound of an earthquake. And Sheikh Anwar Shahad used the two maqams, Sika and Bayati. Okay.
Now let's talk about the tajweed points, brother.
Yes. Al-Ardu. Okay, we have a Ra, which is Sakin, preceded by a Fatha. Okay, so, and the letter of the Fatha is a Hamza. Hamza has to be pronounced with Tarqiq. Never could you find a Hamza which is pronounced with Tafkhim. Alif al-Mat could be pronounced with Tafkhim, but not Hamza, the letter Hamza.
That's right.
Okay, so we have to pronounce the Hamza with Tarqiq, but we have to pronounce the Ra with Tafkhim, and
right.
also the Wad with Tafkhim.
Thickness.
With thickness. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها. Now we have several letters of تفخيم in these verses, especially the second verse. وأخ the خا has تفخيم because it is a letter of استرلاء. The degree of the tafkhim is not so much because the kha is sakin. It has a sukun. It is unvoweled.
Yeah, so it's the second lowest level.
Kha. We have the second lowest level of tafkhim.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that in order to actually apply the second lowest level of tafkhim, we basically pronounce the letter of isti'la without changing the shape of the lips.
Mm-hmm.
The lips are in a neutral position. They're not spread. They're not open vertically. They're just in a neutral position. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ. Again, we have a Wad and also Ra with Tafkhim. And finally, we have Qaf with Tafkhim with an Alif al-Mad. With a long vowel Alif. And so we have the highest level of Tafkhim for the Qaf. أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ. Again, we have a Qaal. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. You know, when you keep on pronouncing letters with تَرْقِيق and تَفْخِيم right after another,
it makes a kind of wave.
It's a wave, yeah. And it's like an earthquake. Earthquake is like, you know, it has a wave. So it reminds us of that as well. It's not, you know, monotonous, and it's not just تَرْقِيق. We keep having تَفْخِيم, تَرْقِيق. We, you know, it alternates between tafkhim and tarqiq.
وَقَالَ
الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. So we keep having tafkhim, tarqiq. This makes this surah very beautiful and rhythmic. Just like I said, it's like the wave, like
That's
you
right.
said, like of an earthquake. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ. We have a rule of nun sakina here, which is...
Because we have a tanween here.
Yes, we have a tanween, so we have a rule of nun sakina, because tanween and nun sakina are
the same,
essentially the same, because a tanween is in fact a short vowel plus a nun sakina.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of writing the nun sakina, they write the same short vowel twice.
That's right.
Okay, on top of each other. So we have two kasras. We have a tanween of kasra followed by ta, which is a letter of ikhfa.
Concealment.
And as a result, we have to pronounce the nun sakina of the tanween with ikhfa. We have to approximate the place of articulation of the next letter and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا You don't place the tongue in the place of articulation of ta. You don't say See, it gets really close, but it doesn't touch. And the sound is a lot different.
Yeah, we are not making noon sound completely.
Yes, the nasalization is partial.
Mm-hmm.
It's anthemi, it's oronasal. It's half, actually, it's mostly in the nose, and some of it also comes from the mouth.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن
before over a million times. Who had ever thought that it would be our time? I just know it, 'cause you're the one. It ain't a selfish love when I'm with you. Remind me of the moment so I know it's true. I'll just say it, you are the one. Won't you be my BFF forever? Won't you be my partner after this world? We'll see. We believe it together. The dreams are meant to be, 'cause you're the one.